I am your host, Victoria Hines, and you are listening to the Creative Journeys podcast, where each week we talk to a creative just like you who is on their own unique journey to greatness. So, are you ready? Let's go. Before we dive into the episode, I want to speak to all of my creatives out there who are rethinking and re-navigating their career. 2020, I think, was in a transitional year for so many of us. All of us had our lives uprooted in one way or another, and for some of us, our careers and our work had to change due to the pandemic, and some of you are probably dying to get back to what was the old normal for you. There's so many others of us, though, who had this chance to slow down and take a big picture look and realize maybe what we wanted was a little bit different than what we were doing back then, before 2020 hit. So I want to share with you all my 5-step roadmap for creatives to navigate career change. I know how hard it is to figure out what's next. After all, it took me about 2.5 years to do that work. So I took all of the work I've done in 2.5 years, and I've shortened it down into my 5 steps, the exact steps I took to figure out what was next in my career. This roadmap also includes 3 common mistakes to avoid when searching for what's next. So for any of you creatives who are going through that self-reflection and introspection of what do I want my career to look like in the next year, in the next 3 years, in the next 5 years, I really think this roadmap is gonna help you. You can find the link in the show notes below and grab that freebie. Even if you're feeling lost, stuck, overwhelmed because you have no idea what could possibly be next, I promise you, there's an answer out there. This roadmap is designed to help you figure out what exactly it is that is going to relight you up inside and bring a smile to your face every single day.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Creative Journeys podcast. I'm really excited for my guest this week. Her name is Martinique Mims, and she's a slam poet and children's book author who also works with AmeriCorps program with City Here. And I'm really, really, really excited to have her on my show today. She's so multi-talented and has a really great story behind her, and I can't wait to dive in and talk about more about what you do.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be here. This is exciting.
Yeah. So where I love to start with all of my guests is what were your creative interests and passions as a kid?
Yes, this is a really great question, a great reflection question to think about your childhood interests, because you can easily forget so much. But as a child, I love many things. My mom always took my brother and I to the local library every Saturday to get books and participate in the kids' programming there. And that sparked my interest in reading. I love to read. I love what books brought to me as a child, like those unique thoughts to think about life with a new perspective. I was pretty quiet in school. I didn't want to cause any problems for the teachers, so kids in school would probably think of me as very shy. However, at home, it was totally the opposite, right? And I'm sure a lot of people say that about themselves, but I used my imagination so much. That was like a big thing for me as a child. I would like jump off the steps onto my brother's back, thinking I was like in a jungle climbing mountains. I would run from animals that never existed, eat ice cream like as tall as the Empire State Building. But using my imagination was for sure a thing. Like there was a lot of rushing me to the hospital as a kid, but I had a lot of fun. constantly in the hospital, but it was all good. Nobody was abusing me or anything. It was just me being a kid.
Sometimes those accidents happen.
Yes. But I will also say what ignited the creativity in me was getting involved in like dance and ballet and gymnastics. So gymnastics was my favorite thing. I used to compete, actually. I was a tumbling tiger back in the day. Although I didn't care too much for ballet when I was like 5 years old, but fast forward to adulthood, I actually became a basic ballet and dance teacher for 3 years. preschoolers. Yep. And I loved it. I love my little girl. So like helping children discover like boundaries, understanding movement, and engaging with others in their age group was a great experience. I was able to create like curriculum, and actually presenting it to the little dancers was really wonderful. I just really love my little girls.
Oh, I can totally relate to that. I loved ballet as like a young kid, and I would go to my local rec center and take classes. In fact, there's a really funny picture of me, and I look exactly like Shirley Temple. yep. But I felt that too. I kind of grew out of ballet, and I was like, nope, don't want this. Mm-hmm. Want to keep my distance. And then I think back in college, I went back to it, and I was like, oh no, this is really good. Right. Like strength training.
Yeah, it for sure. I stopped teaching, obviously, for some time, and I can feel the difference in my body. And mm-hmm. I used to just teach class like once a week, and that made all the difference. So I encourage people now, especially we're sitting down so much during these times, like really get up and move. Even if it's 5 minutes a day, like you have to move. So
you definitely do. It's a priority. Your body will thank you years down the road.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One last thing about my creative experience, because I think this kind of will ricochet into hopefully what else we get into today. But again, like in school, I was very shy, kind of quiet girl, but I was heavily involved in like extracurriculars. And so I always loved to like do presentations. Even if I wasn't speaking or talking to kids at a desk, I would love to get up in front of everyone. And so mm-hmm. I was like student council secretary for years leading up to my senior year. I became the class president. And then I had a big class assignment that happened where a teacher wanted me and another partner to get up in front of the class and share a piece about a folklore that we were reading. And my partner didn't want to do it. And so I got up and shared a poem. And the poem that I said was like really simple that we created. And my whole classroom like got up and started cheering and clapping. And that kind of like ricocheted that, oh, I can speak to other people and, you know, get a reaction or encourage them. And so from that, I started competing in different competitions as a teenager.
What type of competitions?
So there were competitions for kids, students of color through the NAACP. I competed with them twice, and it's called Act So. I don't know if you ever heard of it, but it's so they host it in multiple cities. It happens like during the summertime. And so it's called the Afro Academic Cultural Technological and Scientific Olympics of the Mind. So they get kids from different cities across the country all to compete on a big main stage. I competed in New York and then Kansas City. And it's from the arts to, you know, students interested in engineering, and it's just all students of color. And to be a part of that really showed me what I could possibly and potentially become once I graduated from mm-hmm. high school.
That's amazing. Since you mentioned high school, I'd love to have you like give us like the brief notes kind of segue of what did you actually go to college for?
Oh, yeah. So I graduated in 2010, and I went to school at a small liberal arts school in Ohio, and I majored in communication and business. Yep. So I taught.
Yeah. How did that journey then sort of transpire to where you're now working at City Year in the AmeriCorps program?
Yeah. So once I graduated from college, I had the mindset of like, oh, I'm a first generation college student. You know, I did fairly well in school. Where is the jobs? Like, where's the money at? and, you know, I graduated on time and everything like that. And that was not the reality. And I kind of was depressed about that. So for mm-hmm. a period of time, I didn't really do anything almost like a year after I graduated from college. I worked at DSW, which is great mm-hmm. still, a good starting point, but I knew that wasn't my purpose. So I kept figuring out what do I need to do to feel more fulfilled. And a girl actually walked into the shoe store with a City Year red jacket on. And she looked like she had purpose. So she came in my line and I was like, what is this? Like, what is your jacket? What does it mean? And she told me, and I was like, oh my gosh, I need to apply for that. And so like that night I went home and I researched City Year and what they do and what they're looking for. And I felt like this could ricochet something meaningful for me. Yeah. I also, in between time, because City Year starts in the fall, if you're looking to serve in a program like this. And so I needed something during the summer. So I actually became a Girl Scout counselor in Ohio, and I really had a lot of fun with that.
Wow, that's amazing. I want to ask you if it's okay to talk about this, or if you feel like talking about this. What about graduating college kind of left you feeling, I don't know what's next? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So I guess for me, I wish when I was in school that I was, again, heavily involved in like extracurricular things. I was always doing something in the student union. I was planning like fashion shows and stuff like that. But for me socially, I wish I had built stronger and solid relationships with people. And I felt like I didn't quite fit in all the time. And so that kind of, I was like, people say this is supposed to be the best 4 years of your life. I don't feel that way. But I also think it was my perspective, right? It was my mindset at the time. And so graduating and then not having a job, I applied for, you know, I was sitting around waiting my senior year thinking something was going to pop up. And I didn't apply for anything until like the day of graduation. And it was like a last minute thing for like broadcast journalism to do like a fellowship for 2 years. And I didn't get in the program because I just put something together last minute. And that depressed me even more. I'm like, wait a minute, you didn't accept me. And so, yeah, I just kind of felt down and I didn't want to do anything. So for the whole summer up until fall after graduation, I was like sitting in my mom's apartment playing Sims, you know, the video game, and just chilling.
I think you are not the only person who graduates and is like, okay, what now?
Yep.
I know. I mean, I went to school for acting, and for me, kind of the story was you move to LA, you move to Chicago, you move to New York, and you start your career, which is not very hyper-specific, nor is it. It's not actually the best blueprint ever. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. But I know I graduated and I had no clue where I wanted to go. Absolutely no clue. And I mean, for me, I had lined up a couple of random gigs. So I actually relocated back home because I was like, if I'm going to go to these other places and do these random gigs, I don't want to be paying rent in a city that I'm not actually living in. But it took me a solid 7 months to figure out, okay, where am I moving to and what's next in my career? It's because you go from that super hyper structure of college to, okay, the world's open.
Yep. Now nobody tells us this. Nobody tells us.
No. And it's hard. It's hard to jump into that gray zone of, okay, of like, what do I do now when there's no predefined structure set out for me?
Right.
Yeah. I would love to dive into talking a little bit about your children's book and what inspired that project for you.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about this journey. This is a new step for me. But yeah, I knew that I wanted to create not necessarily children's books, but cartoons for kids since I was like in high school. I for sure stayed a kid. I never wanted to grow up. So I stayed like watching Disney Channel, Nickelodeon, Cartoon Network, like Saturday morning cartoons, all as a teenager. And I noticed that like the programs for children changed. And I can say that, you know, I was a very biased teenager, but I just thought the quality of program for kids was not the same. So I'd always say I would create cartoons for kids, like really just talking out the side of my neck, not really thinking I would ever do anything. It was just something I used to say as a high school kid. But it bothered me seeing, like, you know, some of the young people and the things that they watched. And as an adult, or as adults, we must recognize, like, the influence that we have on children. So we have to be careful about the messages that we send, like what we say, because even when we have a good message to give, we have to be conscious of the delivery. And I saw this when I was an AmeriCorps member. I worked in schools with my students, and they would come in and tell me the shows that they watched, and they were not kid-friendly, and I was so shocked. And so I for sure knew that I wanted to create something positive, uplifting, or encouraging, and ways for young people to learn while having fun and not letting them grow up too fast. I think that's really important.
I mean, that's definitely something that our culture... Like, once you hit your teenage years, it's almost like you aspire to be an adult.
Right. No, enjoy it because it goes so fast. You know, we're going to be adults way longer than we were children, than we were kids. So enjoy it. It's not fair that we do that to young kids. And it's not all the time, right? But I definitely see that. So we just got to let them be. And that's where this passion comes from.
So tell me a little bit about, so you mentioned to me that you wanted to create this book back in 2017, but a lot of hesitations popped up for you and you kind of delayed the dream. So tell me a little bit about what happened there.
Yes, 2017. So that's when I just graduated from AmeriCorps. So again, like working with youth, and I worked with youth in the Cleveland community. You can, with AmeriCorps, there's tons of cities you can go to, but I stayed at home. And after I graduated from that program, again, I was still a little lost as to what I should be doing. Like you mentioned earlier, I didn't have any more structure. Like there was no like schedule or anybody telling me you have to be here at this time. So I actually worked in the neighborhood where I served. I was a community organizer. And while doing that, I also started looking and applying for fellowships. And I stumbled on Sesame Street. Sesame Street has a fellowship called Sesame Writers Workshop. And they allow for you to go to, I think they're in New York, and you stay with them for a summer and just write programming for them. Unfortunately, I was not accepted into that program. And it was totally okay, because it gave me the idea to write a book instead. And so I was really pumped that I even started thinking about something like this. And I truly love the story that I created for them to review. But during that time, I didn't know the steps into writing. I didn't have any money and I had a lot of self-doubts. So I tucked the story away for some years. And in between all that time, you know, I was still kind of finding my path, which I still am. So,
I mean, we're all constantly figuring out what's next and finding our path. And yeah, I feel like adulthood is all about refinding us again in a way, and reconnecting to who we are and what we want and who we aspire to be.
For sure. For sure. I mean, I truly experienced the quarter life crisis, like not feeling accomplished or good enough, or like you're saying, like comparing myself to others, especially because of social media. And this is, you know, I'm around my mid-20s. So I'm like, oh my gosh, like nobody's caring about what I want. And I had to get into reality really quick.
Yeah, it's really hard to learn to have, to develop that confidence in yourself to be able to like hold your boundaries and hold your space.
For sure. For sure. And for me too, like, in order to get out of that during that year and that time leading up to even now, is really looking into, you know, your community and finding a lot of mentorship, encouragement, you know, really helped me to have that ground to walk on, to find that path, right?
Yeah. What were some of the resources and pathways you took to find that mentorship that you needed?
So, you know what? And sometimes it's right in your face, right? So after my service year, I have some great mentors. I'm going to shout them out before I dive into all of this. But to my mentors, Lee and Kevin Kay, they've really helped me figure out my path and go through, helping me find jobs after my AmeriCorps service year. They've helped me just to kind of figure out that path and help me through the tears as well. But one day, my mentor, Lee Kay, she had me over for lunch, and she sat me down out of the blue. She was like, you know what? You keep talking about what you want to do, where you want to go, you know, that you want to create art, you want to share poetry. And are you hanging out in those spaces? Are you sharing your art with others that are interested in those types of things? And she's like, if you are an artist, go where the artists are. And like that, I don't know why, it's so simple, but it made things so clear for me. And I needed to hear that at that moment in time. I realized, you know, people often say, nobody will know who you are if you sit on the couch, if you don't go out. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I was doing. I was always at home. And I'm like, well, why am I not getting called for this or that? So right after that lunch date with her, I started seeking out spaces. And I also needed some time to just kind of reflect on my past experiences to grow. But with that mentorship and encouragement and definitely a better financial plan, I realized, I don't have to wait for someone else. I don't have to be this or that before I feel good about where I'm already at. I don't have to, wait for an opportunity. I can actively be working on myself and still discover opportunities.
Yeah. That's one of the hardest thing for creatives in general. And I've seen this in my friends, I've seen it in myself. It feels so safe to live in our dreams and live in the idea of it. But the taking the action part is so hard.
For sure.
But you have to.
Yes. You got to step out of your comfort zone. And I wouldn't encourage anyone to do what I'm about to say, but I did it. I used to take my camera. I had like a Fuji film, and I would show up at events that I found on Eventbrite, and I just started snapping pictures. And it really ignited like conversations with the people who were hosting the events. And it allowed me to like discover opportunities where I probably would have never wound up at. And I started learning a lot more about my city, and I found a lot of hidden gems, and I started discovering a bit about, what I like and what I would want to be a part of. So for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds, you said, going kind of back to like what you said in high school and college, how you felt like you didn't quite create the right relationships. It sounds like that's something in adulthood you've kind of really figured out,
like, it's getting better. It is the key. Your network. So the mentors that I had, they have a program or a company called, they do network weaving. And so they hired me to in their LLC during the time that I was kind of figuring out who I was or what I should be doing. And we just went around the community and just networked with everyone. Made sure that we checked in on people, just had conversations in the neighborhood. We started creating programs for the local library where we invited resident leaders and stuff like that to snap pictures of their community to showcase their art themselves, And it was just community members doing that. And that made me feel so, I don't know, it was just a great experience. And just to see people where they're at.
So I want to dive back into your project, which is The Color of Stories.
Yay.
And yeah, I'd love to hear a little bit about like your mission and kind of what you're hoping to put out back into the world.
For sure. So during this process of creating this story, this children's book, you have to start figuring out what is your brand? What are you going to look like? What is your platform looking like? And so The Color of Stories was formed with me and my mom. My mom and I are working together in the same room during the pandemic. Now we're on quarantine, so we're working from home together. And so I always throw out different ideas to her as we're working. And came up with the idea of the color of stories. And so I've done projects where we talked about women and their stories and why it is important to hear our voices. And so I knew that I wanted to lean heavy on the idea of storytelling and the importance of, I don't care who you are, I want to know who you are, you know? and so knowing that every story has some kind of beautiful piece to it is how I thought of the color of story. So if you go to my website, it's where books take flight for a blank canvas to get splattered with color and for imagination to ignite. It is a space to learn, discover, and grow, and helping children and their families find the bright spots in their own individual stories. So that's a little glimpse into it.
Yeah, I love that. Like, you are so community focused and you're so focused on serving others. And that's gold. Like, that's such a like heartfelt soul to your work.
For sure. We have to definitely recognize the other people. And I wasn't always thought of that. So like in high school, I was like, oh, I'm going to be like Oprah Winfrey. I'm going to be a star, a mega star. And it's fine what she's doing, but I had to humble myself. and being in AmeriCorps for sure, and being with communities that are underrepresented has shown me a lot about, you know, opportunity and how we can, everybody can have a piece. Everybody can share their colorful story, right?
I would love to dive back into the book. So I know you're at the illustration phase right now. So kind of going into some logistics, how did you find an illustrator, and how did you know that illustrator was the right one for you and your story?
Good question. So I already knew personally my illustrator. So during the process of getting out where the artists are, so last year I started diving into the local art community in Cleveland. And there's an organization or a company that I went through to do like some very interesting pieces for the community, and they're called Maelstrom Collaborative Arts. And so this young lady is like, she's a costumer, she draws, she went to the Institute of Art here in Ohio, and she did a lot of great pieces and designed some of my costumes for shows. And I loved her energy and her spirit. And I reached out to her and, you know, asked her if she would love to jump on a project with me. And definitely still going through the same process of setting up a contract. You definitely want to do that with anybody you work with, especially if you're very serious about something of this nature. So we drew up a contract, and she's going above and beyond what an illustrator would do to help me create this book. So she's going to be designing tote bags and buttons and pins and coloring pages, and she's also going to help me create like a Kickstarter campaign, and she does not have to do that. You won't always find that with illustrators, but I just happen to know someone.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. And it's so awesome. I mean, I love what you said also about the contract, because I've even entered business arrangements with friends, and yes, having a contract, it just gives you the like boundaries to fall back on of,
for sure,
what are we expecting from each other,
for sure. But also for people who are interested in like writing a children's book or something, or just looking for someone to design anything, there are a lot of platforms. I'm sure you've all seen like Fiverr commercials. There's a ton of people on that platform to look for illustrators, cartoonists, stuff like that.
That's awesome. The other big part of the writing process is also the publishing process. Could you tell us a little bit about what that's been like for you?
Yes. So I am self-publishing my book, and it for sure has been a journey, and I'm still actually in the process, the thick of it now. My book will be launched in January, fully launched, but I'm going to hit publish this month. And what basically you need to do is make sure that you have whatever platform you've got ready. If you want a website, have that designed, because I will tell you, I thought my website was going to take 2 weeks. It took 2.5 months, and it still needs some tweaks here and there. But have that all together before you're getting ready to press publish on your book. If you definitely want that, right? Some, you don't have to go to extreme and buy a domain and things like that for your website. You can create a landing page. But I definitely want to be in the thick of all of it. So I'm creating a website, got all the social media platforms lined up. And the biggest piece now is going to be formatting the book and then creating a launch team. That's going to be a big priority these next few weeks. So it's a...
That's amazing. What can I ask, what like platforms or services or what have been some of the tools you've used in your publishing process?
So I will highlight, I've gone through, and what has really helped me to kind of get the confidence in even knowing where to start, I've joined a program. It's called Self Publishing School through Chandler Bolt. And they give you a coach that will walk you through the process. So they tell you, like, you can have a book, not necessarily a children's book done, but, like, in 3 months you could have a book, in 6 months you can have your book fully completed. Now it's taken me a whole year, so I'm a procrastinator. Don't go after me. but I have a coach, and they have a big, like, platform that they use to help you throughout each stage of the process. So even learning how to get the idea, you have to do like a mind map. They have you go through all of that so that you know why you're even writing a book. A lot of people don't know why. Is it because you want to make more income, you know, extra income? You just want to say you published? Is this for, you know, your bucket list? Really have an idea of what you want to do before you just jump into it, because you might, well, I don't want to say, you just don't want to get disappointed by it. And so right now they take you through, like, even showing you Redsea. That's a platform to find editors, illustrators, get somebody to do your website design. Fiverr is a really big thing they push us to use. And now that I'm stepping into the publishing phase, I need to get all of my author profiles together. So getting on Goodreads, BookBub, setting up my author profile on Amazon, on Kindle Direct. If you want to do an ebook, you have to be on like KDP. So getting all that lined up before the actual launch is really important.
That's
I know
awesome
I
and amazing.
Threw out a lot of stuff, but it's definitely a lot.
You did. It's a lot, but I mean, I know that's a lot of people have those aspirations, and they're like, where in the world
do you start?
Yeah. And I love the fact that you said it's not just the idea, it's why. Why are you producing this product?
For sure. And you have to really think about who you're writing the book for. So what is this piece going to help solve, or how is it going to contribute to your specific reader? A lot of people will write a book and just throw it to anybody, but it has to be in your niche, right? You can't just say, I'm writing a children's book and then talk to a construction worker, you know, and say, can you buy my book? No, like, that's going to mess you up on Amazon and all those kinds of things. So find out and seek out who the people are that need to read your story.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, we live in a world where there's so much going on. So being able to be super clear about who you want to be talking to makes it so much easier to find those people and also talk to them.
Yes.
And create messaging that's actually going to resonate with them. And then, yeah, and just defining your own version of success, because you're so right. Some people are just doing this because they're like, I just want to publish something. And some people are like, no, I want it to sell and be a really big book. Or some people are like, I want to give this to my grandkids. Like, there's so many reasons to publish a book, and going in knowing what your goals are helps you make the right decisions along the way.
For sure, for sure.
I'm curious, what have been some of the hardest parts about not just writing this book, publishing this book, but also creating the larger, the mission, the larger platform of The Color of Stories? What's been some of the sticking points for you?
Oh, this is so many. Like I said earlier, I really had no idea all that it took to create a book, especially if you're very serious about how you want to market everything. Like you said, if you want to create a legacy piece for your family, you don't necessarily have to take as broad and huge steps. But I'm definitely trying to get this out there to like schools and neighborhoods and communities and things of that nature. So I'm diving full steam in, you know. But what has been quite difficult, like I said earlier, I am a procrastinator. And so making sure that I stick to a timeline or constantly moving in the direction of completing this project has been, it's not necessarily hard, but it's showing me that I'm really excited, I guess. Again, like this is something very new for me, something very large to me to do by myself without like an organization telling me exactly what I need to do. So I'm realizing what I'm capable of, but also giving myself grace. There's a lot of little hiccups that can happen. You know, like I said, with the website, thought it was going to take 2 weeks, took 2 months. I got into a car accident this summer, two car accidents, and my car got totaled. And this is all while my book was with the editor. So when I got the stuff back, I just was like, I don't feel like writing any. I don't feel like revising anything right now. So having grace periods and sticking to a timeline has been very important to me and for me. So
do you feel like this process and tackling this project has helped you grow even as a person?
Oh my gosh, yes. Yes, it really has. just one, learning about the writing and book process. I was a blank canvas. I had no idea. And now when I look at a book, I'm looking at it even very differently now. And I really appreciate it even more because somebody is taking the time to create something for you to learn or to be entertained from. It's something quite solid to hold in your hands, and it's really important. And also too, so like again with the youth that I work with, I think about them a lot. So I worked with third graders when I was an AmeriCorps member, and this book is based off of a little third grader. And so I think about them, and I'm like, oh, I would love for them to like read something about being courageous, being proud of yourself. And actually, one of my third graders, she's now an eighth grader. I still keep in contact with her, and she sent me a picture of herself as a third grader. And so she's going to be in the book, her face. And so that too is like a big push. Like I want young people to see themselves, you know?
Yeah. And you can't let her down.
Yes. No, I can't.
Yeah, you are past that point where.
For sure.
Oh, man. Oh, so something I actually haven't asked you and we haven't touched base on. What is the title of the book?
Yeah, so going back off of colors, it's called Through the Colors of a Butterfly. And yeah, it's about a young girl. Her name is Unique. And she must confront her fears after her family recently moved to a very different side of town halfway through the school year. And so she has some physical differences. My character has a disability. She has a prosthetic leg. But she was very popular and everything at her school, her old school, and she was a soccer captain and all this kind of stuff. And she's worried that going to this new school, she won't like anyone and they might not like her. And so she gets, the teacher puts her in charge of watching the class caterpillar. And she gets a chance to see him transform. And as he blossoms into this butterfly, he takes her into a dream journey to discover her gifts and that she shouldn't hide herself. And that is very important for her to recognize her differences and find out exactly how unique she really is. So that's what this story is about.
I love that so much right now. I mean, especially with winter right outside our doors, I feel like I just want to crawl into a cocoon and come out a butterfly a little bit.
For sure. And I hope that's something that we can do right now with everything going on. We can sometimes get stuck in like the caterpillar mindset, which is okay. But there's going to be a time that we need to break out and recognize the beauty that we have that we potentially could be missing out on, you know, if we hide ourselves. So that's what I definitely want to show for kids.
Yeah, no more hiding.
Yep.
Which it sounds like is exactly what you told yourself last year, and you're like, no more hiding. We're going to step out and write this book.
Exactly. And it's so funny you say that, because my coach through the program that I'm in, her name is Marcy Pusey. She's an author. Go check her out. She's really cool. But she told me, you know, like, that a lot of books are representations of the author, right? The story, whether you think it or not, I didn't even realize until she said that. Like, this story is me.
I love that. What is your one piece of advice above everything else that you would give to anyone who is wanting to publish their own book?
I would say simply get started. Get started writing.
I love that. Are you ready for some rapid fire questions?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So creativity is?
Imagination.
How would your family describe what you are doing?
They would say that it is something wonderfully new.
Oh, this one I wrote for you because I also love ice cream, and I saw that it was on your bio somewhere. But what's your favorite ice cream flavor?
I love Mitchell's. I don't know if Mitchell's is an Ohio thing, but they have a really yummy sundae that I get. It's a vanilla flavor with hot fudge and sprinkles and whipped cream and cherries. I just love that.
Awesome. What are you currently reading right now?
So right now I'm reading The Hate U Give by Angie Thomas. So I had this book for some years, and I actually got a chance to meet her in 2018, which kind of ignited this journey as well. And I'm trying to read that.
My last question for you is, if you could go anywhere in the world, COVID is not a thing, where would you go and why?
I would go to Venice, Italy. I actually had the idea to go for my birthday, which is in January. So this coming year, I plan to do that with some friends. But I don't think we're going to be traveling anytime soon. Mm-hmm. I definitely would not want to go.
So last but not least, can you tell us a little bit more about where we can learn more about your book?
Yes.
And know when it gets published?
Yes. So like I said, all my new platforms, go check them out. I am on Instagram and Facebook, on Twitter at The Color of Stories 10. So The Color of Stories, the number 10. You can also check out my website at thecolorofstories.com. I will highlight, I'm working on a few other projects right now. I have a new video up, just loaded it up today on YouTube through Generation Light. It's the elements of nature, and it's about our connection and our importance of recognizing our connection to nature and respecting our planet. So I encourage people to go check that out.
Love it. Thank you so much, Martinique, for being on the show today.
No, thank you. This was so fun.
Here are the takeaways from today's episode. 1. Don't be surprised that when you transition from the structure of undergrad college to the real world, it is normal to feel a little lost. 2. Adulthood is about refinding yourself. 3. In order to get out of feeling small, look at your community and find mentorship. 4. Go where the artists are. 5. Nobody will know who you are if you are always sitting on the couch. 6. You don't have to be this or that before you feel good about where you are already at. 7. Have a contract in any business relationship you enter. 8. Know why you are creating a project before you jump in. And 9. Give yourself some grace. Last but definitely not least, I want to thank you for listening in. This podcast would not be possible without you. And if you would like to support my mission of sharing these creative journeys with the world, here's what you can do. First, go ahead and subscribe. It's a really easy way to support the show. Second, go ahead and give me a review. I would love to know what you think. And third, share it with a friend. I know somebody else out there probably needs to hear this message today. Thank you so much for being here. I'll see you next week.